Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Women in Tech. Welcome Sandy Welfare, the Executive Director of Women in Technology. Good afternoon.
Hello, Alex. Good to be here.
And we have Jamila Cowan Weidman with Dell. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Wendy Frazier with the Weather Channel.
Hi. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon. Okay, ladies. Jamila, share some of the details on your role at Dell because you are the Senior Regional Manager.
That's correct. I am actually responsible for a team of 16 technical account managers across the Southeast, and they are all tasked with supporting one of our premium warranty support offers called Pro Support Plus.
And Wendy, share some details on your role at the Weather Company.
Yes, I oversee the web development team for weather.com. So that team comprises of QA, it comprises of DevOps, as well as a plethora of engineers. My team is responsible for weather.com, which makes up about 38 different sites and languages out there. My primary focus and goal right now is expanding out in the global markets and being more accessible on mobile web.
Okay. And the WIT Connect 2016 is coming up June 2nd, and it's presented this year by Dell. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'll kick off the conversation because, of course, I want people to come out and support this event. Women in Technology do one big fundraiser a year, and this is our signature event. And it's quite interesting where we have executives, usually CIOs, CTOs, who bid off or bid their time. And so we're able to do fundraising from that perspective. And so, of course, this year, Dell is back, I think, for their fifth or sixth year as our presenting sponsor. And Wendy can, of course, share with us some of her background on being on stage and having people bid on her as well. And so it's a fun evening for us to do some exciting and interesting things. But more importantly, this year, we're changing the dynamic that we will still have all of the bid opportunities for people who are in the room, because, of course, that's what gets a lot of people in the room. But we're also having Debbie Sterling, who's the founder CEO for Goldieblocks, and she's a 27-year-old engineer from Stanford, basically created this fantastic engineering toy for girls. And it's basically just changed the whole gamut of how the conversation goes. So we're excited for WIT Connect. And I just wanted to say thank you, Jamila, again, for being our presenting sponsor.
And Sandy, how many years have you been doing WIT Connect?
I believe this is our 21st year. 21st or 22nd year that we've been doing it. And it's a good way for the community to come out and support, you know, such a worthy organization. And of course, the background for us, we were one of the founding societies of TAG. And so we broke away to do our own thing several years later. And for us, being specific around or having a strategy around getting more women and girls excited about STEM, being a part of that upcoming workforce here in Atlanta, particularly with all of the technology companies coming here, we're wanting to ensure that we actually have the programs to support girls from the classroom to the boardroom.
Jamila, let's start off with you. Tell me about Dell's support of WIT Connect over the last 5 years.
Sure. Dell has proudly supported WIT Connect over the past 5 years, and we believe in the WIT mission. Our sponsorship allows us to partner with not only WIT, but other local businesses who agree that it's important for us to focus on STEM education as well as access to STEM opportunities. When we rally around this, it's beneficial for all of us because women in technology contribute to our overall success.
Okay. And Wendy, how about the Weather Company? Who on your team will be able, and what people will we be able to bid on? at that time?
From our team, we'll have none other than Bryson Keller, our CIO and CTO. Bryson is an avid and very active WIT member. If for those that were there last year, it was quite a riot on the stage next to Bryson as we rallied up and really enhanced the bidding process. It's always a great opportunity, a great time. And Bryson, with his passion and drive with women in tech and how to shape and evolve that and the work that he's done in the weather company, is a great opportunity to be able to bid on him and to work firsthand as we begin on our new journey with IBM and big data and bringing that into our portfolio. So it'll be a really exciting time to be able to shadow and partner with him.
And for someone that's never been, explain the bidding process. How does that work?
Well, you have to have definitely a good set of longs. No, I'm just kidding. the bidding process, and I probably have to hand it over more to Sandy to kind of walk through those details. But it's always a very competitive process. I will say that.
Right. Every year, it seems like there are a few companies that will go neck and neck with each other. They want to be the one who costs the most. And so, unfortunately, I think Cox thought that they were last year. And they came in at $6,600, but
wow.
The Weather Channel came in at $10,000. And so clearly the Weather Channel beat them out last year. But a lot of it is around what upcoming projects do they have. And when people are bidding on this executive's time, it's really trying to, local companies are trying to figure out, are we able to partner with them? What are the ways that we can connect for 2016, 2017? And so a lot of times you'll have one or two packages that go for a lot of money. I believe in the past, one package, is the most expensive one we've had, went for $21,000. That's been the most expensive package.
$21,000.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so like one of the packages that came in is the CEO for Cox Automotive, and it's golf with him at Eastlake. You can't buy that anywhere. Mm-hmm. So to get a CEO's time at Eastlake, people will bid some serious dollars mm-hmm. on it.
Now, do you have a professional, what are they called? The person that does right. the like 24?
We do. Yeah, we do have a professional auctioneer, but actually he'll be there to do some special things during the program.
Okay.
But everything is going to be online this year, which I think is what has been the feedback from people. Rather than parading people on stage, they want to be able to sit at their tables and hit their BidPal software system. So BidPal is a system we'll be using to where someone can come and bid on the weather company package, as an example.
Oh, that's neat. Okay. How does empowering women in the workplace foster innovation? Well, Jamila, we'll start with you.
We know that women bring a unique skill set and a unique way of thinking to the workforce. And so at Dell, we focus on innovation overall. You know, that's been a premise that Michael Dell has set from the onset of the company. But we do create opportunities for women to excel in those areas and to be creative and to have a safe place to innovate. Some of the things that we do specifically are we have employee resource groups, and we actually have one here locally called WISE. We focus on opportunities for women to get additional career development, to stand out in their teams, and create opportunities for leadership.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. So as we have executives travel to our local area, we have them come in and do lessons in leadership sessions. We have them do top floor coaching. Not only does it give our employees an opportunity to learn from the folks who have already made that climb, but it gives them an opportunity to be recognized and to stand out as top talent.
Okay. And Wendy?
Well, empowering women in the workplace fosters innovation by putting women in positions where they can leverage those talents and those valued insights as leaders are created and new ideas are generated. Not only do we need to put people and put women in those positions to innovate and to create those new ideas, but also have the backing of the senior execs and the leadership. That it starts top down. When you have the executive sponsors' capabilities and horsepower behind your idea, those innovative ideas and your think tank becomes even more open and widely accepted because you have support. A lot of times women tend to fall short in this space because of the lack of support. And that's one of the things that the Weather Channel does exceptionally well is they foster an innovative, you know, being innovative and being a big thinker, but they also do back that tremendously.
And I do want to touch upon Jamila's point around employee resource groups, because Dell is one of the few companies that I'm aware of that actually have a men's employee group in support of women, which I actually thought was quite interesting, because most times you're trying to just get men in the room to have that conversation. And so for them to go above and beyond, I think Michael Dell clearly sees the strength of having a very diverse organization. I think the Weather Channel has a very diverse organization, and that might be why you see such innovation coming from these two companies, because they do get it and they're not needing to understand. I mean, they're not needing to be told what to do. They're actually doing it.
Dell is committed to accelerating the increasingly powerful role that women play in driving global economic growth through their Women's Entrepreneur Network and other initiatives. Jamila, what are some things that you are doing at Dell elevate women in tech roles?
So as you referenced, we have a global initiative, the Dell Women's Entrepreneur Network, where we focus not only on Dell women employees, but outside of our organization, we also partner with small businesses that focus on technology as well, and create opportunities for them to come in and partner with Dell, because we know that the funding that comes from the ability to partner with a larger corporation will fuel their business. And then they have the opportunity to hire additional women and to keep the cycle going.
Can you give us some examples of the small businesses that you're talking about?
I don't have the names of any of the companies with me currently, but I know that we do partner globally, and we have an annual event that the Dell Women's Entrepreneur Network puts on each year in a different location around the world. And that information is available on the Dell website.
Oh, okay. Wendy, over 60% of companies cited weather as impacting their businesses. Weather impacts everything. At the end of last year, IBM purchased the Weather Company. So in other words, the digital assets of the company. Chairwoman and CEO of IBM, Romiti.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Good.
Romiti
is certainly a trailblazer in the tech industry. And we're hearing about new technology implementations that you're working on. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
At the Weather Company, the biggest initiative that we have ongoing, especially since the merger is complete, is really shaping and forming our data around Watson and the cognitive data set that's out there. We have a lot of initiatives currently ongoing and kicking off with respects to that. When you combine, you know, weather data with business data, that's, you know, going to obviously improve the decision-making capabilities for various businesses, whether the sector is retail or if it's insurance or if it's airline. Having, you know, an engine that can be more robust and that can provide the answers that businesses need to weather data and business data to be able to make those decisions is going to be huge going forward. Our competitors at Weather, you know, we joke all the time and say Weather is not just the weather companies out there. That's our biggest competitors. Our biggest competitors is all sectors and all businesses, because weather is so powerful and it has such a huge impact on the bottom line. So the quicker that we can get those answers and decisions back to businesses and our users and fans, that obviously it'll be well received and decisions can be made in a quicker fashion.
I will say that I saw a commercial recently on Watson. I was beyond impressed. I had never seen anything like it. And for me to look at how this could change the medical side of data coming in from all over the world and all this, you know, having a true impact on the way hospitals do businesses, doctors do business, I think that it really is phenomenal. So you're taking something that the weather company does with weather, but you're basically expounding it out to all these other reaches. So I think it's an impressive ability. And I think you're going to see more competitors try to come in that space. But I think Watson is a little bit far ahead of everybody. And so you're at a excellent advantage.
Yeah, Watson is definitely very impressive. And I know a lot of folks saw the debut with Jeopardy, but is grown beyond that, and the capabilities and the reach that's available. I mean, the skies are the limit at this point.
And you're right. Weather does have such an impact. My husband is CEO at Georgia Highlands Medical, and he has to make that call on, you know, if it's snowing or icing. You know, he has to make the call for the whole company. Are you going to drive in? The doctor's going to come in. And that's a lot of pressure.
Right.
Because if you get it wrong, there could be trouble.
Right, right. And that's where, you know, accuracy and precision of measure and being quicker to provide those decisions is where Watson and weather coming together will definitely hopefully allow your husband to make those decisions much sooner.
Okay, good to know. As women leaders in the tech field, can you give us your thoughts on some things that leaders can do every day to improve women's advancement and retention in the workplace?
Sure. So a couple of things that I think we can do on an ongoing basis include being open to diverse points of view. So as I stated earlier, understanding that women bring a unique approach and perspective. Studies show that men and women think differently, and so we bring different things to the table. And so taking that into consideration and being open to it, identifying key talent and being willing to mentor and not stopping at mentorship, but when you do identify the right candidate, also being willing to sponsor them, helping them navigate the organization, because we see all the time that there's key talent that's overlooked or maybe just doesn't necessarily have the brand within the company or know the right people to connect with. Finally, request a diverse applicant pool. So I know that when I'm hiring for positions across the Southeast, I request that talent and acquisition bring me a diverse applicant pool. Let's make sure that, you know, as long as they're qualified and they're meeting the things that we're asking for, we're bringing a diverse group to the table.
And good for you for doing that. I think that's so important in any business.
Yeah, just to add to that, I think the mentoring is a huge aspect of it. Another thing I think that, you know, that can really help foster and create more, you know, a better workplace and to obviously keep the retention low is just expanding our leadership capabilities and providing the same opportunities across the board. One of the things that I like to foster with my team is just having an unbiased culture and atmosphere so that all opportunities are available to all, whoever the most qualified candidate is. I'm always trying to maintain that point of view and you know, when opportunities are given, that, you know, equal level playing field allows the best resource to be selected. And then you do have that diversity that kind of naturally comes from that. You have to recognize leaders with respects to where the talent is and with respects to what they're good at, as opposed to a lot of times, especially being a woman in this industry, you know, a lot of times the women tend to, the executives tend to see lesser of a leadership quality in a woman than a male. And a lot of times women have to work a little bit harder to get there, but just having that equal level playing field allows everybody the opportunity to kind of, you know, succeed or fail on their own terms.
And can you share some, I guess, techniques that you use to bring out these leadership skills?
One of the most recent ones is actually the classes and the educational offerings from WIT. We sent a number of resources over to Emory late last year, where they were able to take advantage of some hands-on entry-level leadership skills. And then also there was some advanced training as well. And we've been able to actually see really good rewards and success in the office, where I joke with a number of my employees all the time where they're using their tactics on me from the class. And it's good. And you want to see that, and you want to continue to encourage that and just encouraging those opportunities so that they can bring those back into the workplace is huge.
And I will...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jamila.
Yes, just one thing to tag on to the whole leadership training aspect. WIT provides a great opportunity for different levels of leadership training. Prior to moving into a leadership role, I was in a global role. I had dotted line reports, no direct reports, but I knew that leadership was in my future. It was one of the things I was working towards. I took one of the classes, and within a year, you know, not planned, I was in a leadership role, and it was like I had been prepared for what was coming. So great offering, and people should definitely take advantage of those courses.
I was just going to say that that is a part of our partnership that we have with Emory Continuing Education, and they do the leadership programs for women in technology. And so our programs are STEM for women in STEM, all female. And of course, it's just based around what's going to be the priority for what we consider, you know, high achievers, those who, you know, many companies are looking to support. So for us, it's a win-win. But back to both of the ladies' points, I think they're doing a great job to ensure that there's a level playing field. I actually think that company strategy has to be more intentional around how they do their hiring practices, because at the end of the day, I think that women still have to come forth with a lot more than the males. I was having this conversation with someone over lunch today, and I was sharing that a guy can have, you know, 5 or 6 of the 10 things that's required, and he will apply and think that he should have the job. A woman could have 11, and she will still sit there debating whether or not she should apply. And I think that this is the difference of these two ladies having the ability to mentor people into holding on to their leadership capabilities. They have it. I think that it's needing to bring it out. And it's just a difference between male versus female confidence, because I use this story all the time with my then 11-year-old son. And I share with him, you know, just some stuff around what I thought he should, you know, consider doing. And I said, well, you know, what do you think about, you know, neurosurgery, you know, doing surgery on people's brains? And he, without missing a beat, said, what is that, like 2 years of school? And I said, no, it's a lot more than that. He was like, yeah, I could do that. I could certainly do that. And it's so interesting that I've never said to him that he could or couldn't do it. He knew he could do it. And it's not anything that I have ever taught him or share with him as a story. And my 16-year-old mentee, who I've been with for about 7 years, her name is Tori. And I said, Tori, what do you think about, you know, going into the medical field? Oh, I don't know, Miss Sandy. I have like an 85 in science. I probably need more, like a 95. And so it's the difference of coming to the table and knowing that you have what's required. And that to me is where we've got to get our young girls feeling confident about the space that they're in and owning it.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you said about support. I mean, it has to start with our younger, you know, generations. We have to start teaching these women that, you know, don't second guess yourself. You know, like you, Tori was the, you know, I have an 85, you know, how do we teach her to have that confidence that your son has at 11 that, oh yeah, I could do it.
Yeah. I think that this goes to what's going on within any household around confirming girls and confirming them with empowerment. And I think that this is where there's the commercial with Verizon where the girl has a drill out and she's trying to fix her bike. And the father says, no, I'll do it. And it's all these different scenarios of someone wants to come in and help her, whereas the girl can do it on her own. And I think that it's being in those environments and validating it, because I think it's the validation more than anything else. And I'd be curious, Jamila, because I know with your daughter who's just started college, what would you have done throughout her learning to really get excited about STEM? Because you're either going to go into it and know that you can do it, or you're probably not going to go into it, whereas boys are going to go into it at a higher rate. So I'm just curious about your thoughts and with your children as well.
Yeah, I actually didn't get my daughter involved or exposed to STEM until she was a little bit older. So I definitely would have started that sooner. She's participated with WIT Girls when she was in high school and went to visit some of the sponsor companies. And I mean, she was surprised, you know, when I initially pitched it to her, she was like, oh, I'm not interested in science. I don't want to go. And, you know, but you get them there, their minds are blown. Mm-hmm. I mean, it literally opens their eyes to the possibilities. And so I definitely just would have exposed her to it sooner.
Now, was this just girls in the science, or was it both boys and girls?
Just girls.
See, and I think that makes a difference. I think when if the mm-hmm. boys are in there, it's the flow of the room is different. There's a different buzz in the room. And I think that when girls are together like that, then they can start encouraging each other.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the exposure is key. I mean, the sooner we can start the exposure, I mean, I feel like, you know, I know a lot of times we start focusing on this exposure in high school. It really needs to go back to the grade school. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the root. That's when you can plant that seed and right. it has the most impact. Mm-hmm. So just starting the exposure sooner rather than later. And also having a lot of patience. I have a son that he's been an engineer since day one, and he definitely disassembles and reassembles some things back in the right order, sometimes not. but just having that tolerance and that encouragement to constantly continue to push them into that STEM direction, because again, that's our future. That's where it is. But a lot of times we start a little too late, and if we can front load that at the grade school level, that would be a huge, and we'll start to see more returns from that as we progress on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And not just encouraging our daughters or the young ladies, but also like my son, you mm-hmm. know, we have to teach them how to encourage women too and lift them up. Mm-hmm. That's also very important. Okay. I've got another question about the event that's coming up. Both Dell and the Weather Company are champions of women in technology. Both companies are sponsoring this year's WIT Connection on June 2nd at the Georgia Aquarium. Jamila, what excites you about the mission of WIT?
I wholeheartedly believe in the mission of WIT. When we improve STEM education and access to this education for girls, we create a path. So back to what we were just talking about, we literally create a path for more young women to become excited about technology and ultimately pursue STEM careers. One of the things that Dell has been doing to advance access to STEM education for youth and girls specifically is working through our youth learning program. Over the past several years, we've impacted over 76,000 children in underserved communities across the U.S., and of that number, 65% were girls. So it's a great opportunity for us to continue to partner with nonprofits to provide children in these underserved areas with the access to the technology as well as the opportunities.
And I have a question for you too, Jamila. I saw on your LinkedIn page that you are a self-starter. Where did that come from?
Really back to parenting. You know, my mom, there were no limits. So she always said we could do whatever, you know, we put our mind to, and the sky was the limit, or there were no limits, not even the sky. So, you know, I've just been brought up to be motivated and to get out and make it happen and to not wait on anyone else to do it for me.
Okay. And Wendy, what excites you about the mission of WIT?
I mean, the biggest thing is just their continued advancement and advocacy with women and women as leaders, especially as their commitment towards the millennials and you know, as we discussed earlier, really investing earlier into our young ladies so that they can have that stellar career. And also, I've seen a lot around the seasoned vets, the second or third time career goer, corporate, you know, woman that's looking to change careers and to really get into STEM, into IT or whatever, you know, that field is, but giving them the stepping stone and providing them with the tools and the capabilities. So it all goes back to just the continued education, the mentoring and providing the support so that women can continue to thrive in leadership positions.
And Jamila, well, this is for both of you, actually. You're both obviously strong women in your jobs. What's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job? And Jamila, I'll start with you.
Okay. Yeah. The best part of my job is having the opportunity to lead and to impact others. So I thoroughly enjoy being in a position of leadership and having the ability to cultivate talent and to motivate others.
Okay, Wendy?
The best part of my job is just, you know, working with such amazing, really smart, brilliant, unique folks day in and day out, and also building talent and within and also growing talent within. It's one of those things where when I've been at Weather for 16 plus years, and I can honestly say every day has been a different day since day one. And given that opportunity to where we're able to grow and to inspire others and to come out at the end of the day with great products and development is huge. So the it starts with me and ends with me is the people that I work with every day.
Sandy, do you want to jump in and answer that question too? Or do you want to take a pass on that?
Well, these ladies said it all, because I think that at the end of the day, you really have to go in being motivated and being able to motivate others. I think over the years, I've learned that leadership is followed, and you're the role model, whether you know it or not, and people are watching you, whether you know it or not. So most times, if you're going in and you're supportive and you're doing the things that require other women to feel good about being in their positions, you're going to see a different team engagement. So I think these ladies, they're doing it all, so, which is fantastic.
And it's so important for women to support women.
Absolutely.
In their roles as well. Okay, so the WIT Connect is June 2nd at the Georgia Aquarium. Sandy, tell our audience how they can be a part of this.
Absolutely. So if you go to www.mywit.org, all of our information is there. There's a bio for Debbie Sterling. We're very excited. She's in San Francisco. And so I have not seen her on this, on the East Coast much. So it'll be exciting to see someone come out who's pretty much going to be across a lot of generations in terms of impact. And I'm hoping everyone will come out and support WIT for WIT Connect.
I hope so. Jamila, Wendy, Sandy, thank you so much for being here today. This has been another edition of Women in Tech with Sandy Welfare, our Executive Director of Women in Technology. Ladies, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you
for having us.